And a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for the Nick Craig Show, tap the subscribe or follow button, and you'll get a new show each and every weekday morning. Thanks for spending some time with us today. We start with another plane crash this morning. This happening in Toronto at the Toronto International Airport yesterday afternoon. A Delta Airlines plane crash landed and flipped upside down on the runway. And the most amazing thing about it, everyone on board escaped the wreck without critical injury, according to officials. 18 people were hurt, though none of them were believed to have been badly injured, when Delta Flight 4819 crashed on landing on a snowy tarmac in Canada's largest city, the Toronto Pearson Airport. And that was given by officials at a press conference yesterday. The pictures are quite remarkable. You can see this Delta airline plane completely flipped upside down. It is sitting 100% on its what normally is the ceiling or the roof of the plane, completely flipped upside down. All passengers, all crew accounted for miraculously. Everybody walking away, some minor injuries with those 18 people. Nobody expected and no reports of any critical injuries, which again is unbelievably remarkable. With some additional details, 80 people were on board the plane. The flight, which was operated by a subsidiary of Delta Airlines, Endeavor Air, took off from Minneapolis in the United States, Minneapolis, Minnesota, around 11:47 yesterday morning and crashed around 2:15. It was not immediately clear what caused the plane to go belly up, but it was noted that the runway was dry and that there was no crosswind conditions. Now, there were some heavy winds at the time. Reports seem to be all over the place. I've seen some things that say 30 miles an hour, then 50 miles an hour. So not exactly sure what caused the issue there. Now, there are very odd wind conditions that can happen at airports. Airports have early warning detection systems for this. You'll notice in the perimeter of an airport, there tends to be things that kind of look like weather radars. Those are constantly checking crosswinds and notifying air traffic control if there's some sort of early warning on something like that. So we don't know what caused the plane to literally flip upside down. But nevertheless, everybody made it out all right. This is happening, obviously, in Canada. It was a U.S. flight, so I'm not sure what the NTSB, what their involvement will be, because the plane technically crashed in Canada, even though it was from the United States. So we'll see, keep an eye on that. But pretty remarkable, just in the last couple of weeks, we've seen two major plane crashes. One here, of course, in the United States, which ended very deadly for everybody involved. This other one in Canada, fortunately, nobody killed, but a pretty scary situation. We'll keep an eye on it. If there's any new details, we'll pass it along to you right here. So coming up here in 2 days will be the 20th. That'll mean Trump will have been in office an entire month. But it's 4 weeks yesterday he took his oath of office. But 2 days from now, it will be an entire month that Trump has been in the Oval Office. And he has been and is back with something that I think many supporters had hoped the first administration looked more like. Trump has got his eyes set on the prize. He knows what needs to be done, and he is executing that at a remarkable pace. I saw an email from the press corps last night. He's going to be signing executive orders down at Mar-a-Lago around 4 o'clock this afternoon, so he'll be back at it again. The president has done a phenomenal job again at highlighting the issues and actually addressing them. Now, we've talked in the past, and I'll bring it up from time to time. You know, when Trump won in 2016, very different circumstances. There was many indication and reports that even his campaign team in 2016 didn't think he had a snowball's chance in hell of winning the presidency. And so things were a little disconjointed. Did Trump have a successful first term? Absolutely. but it took a while to get there. By the time he was up to speed, Republicans had already lost control of Congress. That was, of course, the midterm elections in 2018. This time, it's a completely different animal. The individuals that Trump has surrounded himself with know the issues, know what needs to be tackled, and more importantly, know how to do it. Right? It's one thing to say, we need to do X. For example, we need to deal with government waste and spending. It's one thing to say that. I can sit here and say that every day. You hear constantly from elected officials, a lot of Republicans in D.C., about government waste and spending. They don't do anything about it. They don't even know where to begin in regards to it. Trump says that, and he has individuals in his camp that are capable of doing that. We've seen that with Elon Musk. We've seen that with DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. We'll get into some details on that coming up a little bit later on. So not only does he know what the issues are, but he knows the individuals to put into the positions to actually deal with them. Whether it's executive orders like protecting female sports, or if it's things like government efficiency, waste, fraud, and abuse with DOGE. He knows what to do. He has surrounded himself with good people. And the end result of that, and what we've seen over the past 4 weeks, has been remarkable. This guy is banging away on all cylinders in regards to his Make America Great Again agenda. It is by far, when the history books are written, when this is all said and done, it will by far be the most productive 3 to 4 weeks that a president has ever had. He has accomplished more in this amount of time than any other president in the history of the United States. There's no question about it. He is firing on all cylinders. And the end result is we're seeing a lot of really great things. We're seeing a lot of the campaign promises that he made. We talked last week about the border. We talked about the major dip, the 10x decrease in regards to border crossings. He is following through on his campaign promises. He's doing the things that individuals elected him to do. The one thing that still remains pretty much up in the air is the economy. He's a big fan of tariffs. We've talked to economists. You've heard from economists how that is likely to create some pretty significant pain in the short term. So that's the one thing that he is really going to have a hard time with, because there is no direct action necessarily that he can do to quote unquote solve the economy. But for mostly everything else, he is either doing it or in the process of getting it done. Or in some cases, he's already completed it, like protecting women in sports. Young female athletes. That's already done. Stroke of a pen, executive order, major photo op, done. There's no more debate. You know, it's so funny. That was an issue that the Democrats owned for like 4 years. They tried to convince the American people. They failed, but they tried to convince the American people that it was appropriate to take what was a space for young female athletes and allow that space to be ruined by men, biological men. To come into those spaces, those places, and completely upend female sports. Democrats had 4 years to convince the American public that their approach, which was allowing the erosion of that kind of activity, they had 4 years to convince the American public they were right about the issue. They failed miserably. And with the stroke of a single pen and one photo taken at the White House, Trump completely owned the situation. Republicans completely owned the agenda, owned the narrative. It's amazing to me that the left had this issue for so long and couldn't figure out a better way to own it. Trump literally destroys them with a single signing of a pen and one photo at the White House. Insane. Now, it was, of course, a terrible idea. Is, of course, something woefully unpopular with the vast majority of the American public. We refer to these in politics, you may or may not have heard the term before, tends to be more of kind of a, it's called like an insider term. but there's 80-20 political issues. And if you talk to individuals that are involved in the political sphere, you'll hear about these 80-20 issues from time to time. These are issues that 80% of people agree with, regardless of party lines. And the female sports issue unequivocally was an 80-20 issue. Republicans and Trump on the side of the 80, Democrats on the side of the 20. And they put their foot down on it. They thought that they were going to somehow win the messaging on this 80-20 issue that they were absolutely on the wrong side of history for. And Trump came in and blew them out within a single day. Remarkable. And so over the last couple of weeks, as we've talked about and as you've seen, Trump's done a lot. And in response to that, we've seen a couple of different things. We've seen the disingenuous nature of the mainstream media. We talked about that yesterday morning with the ridiculous clip from CBS's Margaret Brennan, somehow equating the Holocaust to free speech. The rise of Nazi Germany, that was caused by free speech, which is an insane thing to say. So the media is handling it one way, not very well. Trump is moving too quickly for them to spin up the narrative machine. They're incapable of targeting any of the things that he's doing because so much is so rapidly happening. So they're very ineffective right now. The media does not know how to handle Trump working at this pace. It's just, it's too fast for them to concoct this crazy narrative and then attack him. Because then there's another thing that's popping up, right? There's another bouncing ball to look at and to follow. So the media is very much on their back foot right now. Democrats in Washington, D.C., they're in an awful position. Trump's got the executive branch in the Oval Office. Republicans have a way larger majority than they were predicted to have in the Senate, and they've got that slim majority in the House. Republicans are in complete control of government as we speak this morning. And Democrats continue to vote against things and will likely continue to vote against things that are very unpopular. Meaning their votes against them are the unpopular issue. They continue to stonewall Trump's cabinet and confirmation picks. Cash Patel is up today, I believe, for a final vote. They continue to slow walk that. So Democrats in D.C., they don't have any power. They, you know, were standing in front of USAID. You've got, you know, Maxine Waters standing in front of the Department of Education, harassing a security guard standing in front of the building about, I'm a member of Congress. I'm a member of Congress. You have to let me in. Chuck Schumer's holding up limes and avocados and Corona beer and talking about tariffs. Democrats are just, they're completely scattered right now. They have no unified message going forward. They really have no idea how to tackle this. And it's not unsurprising. As somebody that is a Trump fan, as somebody that has voted for Trump now three elections in a row, 16, 20, and back in November of last year, even for me, it's hard to keep up with what he's doing. And I'm not trying to spin everything that he does and turn it into some sort of, you know, hate ad or some sort of attack vector. I'm just watching and learning and trying to understand what's going on. And even that is a little bit overwhelming, I'll be the first to admit. So we covered the media. We've got the politicians in Washington, D.C. So we got to check in on the resist movements. La resistance. What are those folks doing? Remember the 2016 individuals, the Women's March? What are those folks up to? Well, we saw back a couple of weeks ago the protests across U.S. capitals. There was one in Raleigh with a bunch of protesters in the middle of the day when, you know, I'm doing work, you are at work and doing work as well, aimlessly wandering around downtown Raleigh, chanting, hey, hey, ho, ho, orange man bad this, orange man bad that, with their signs. That's what they're up to. Not effective, completely useless. And so we've seen this. Yesterday was President's Day. Brought you a little history of President's Day. It started with George Washington's birthday after his death in 1799. Transitioned into President's Day in the centuries to come. So because yesterday was President's Day, the resistance movement was in full force again, with protests and rallies across the United States. There was some more in Raleigh, but there happened to be some in Wilmington. There is a group called the Women Organization for Wilmington. Now, of course, just like all of these other leftist groups, they bill themselves as nonpartisans. And this is an important thing to know. They bill themselves as groups of individuals that are not politically affiliated. This is a very deceitful, deceptive thing that is put on by the left. This is a very disingenuous action that they take place in. Now, it's no surprise. This is how the left tends to operate. But they always say, oh, we're nonpartisan, which is absurd. They spend their entire being actively working against and actively shouting down Republicans. And they will claim, we're a nonpartisan group. We're a nonpartisan organization. They are incredibly partisan. Do not fall for the lies. Do not fall for the gaslighting. When you see a name like Women Organized for Wilmington, Women Organizing for Wilmington, the name of this group. Do not fall for the sham. Do not fall for the gaslighting that this is some nonpartisan group of people. These are flaming, progressive, radical leftists. And I use the word leftists very intentionally there. These are not just liberals. These are hardcore leftists that run these organizations. So yesterday, they had a rally in Wilmington, right in front of City Hall, because it was President's Day. And you know, what better way to spend a day off of work than freezing your ass off in Wilmington, bitching and moaning about Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and David Rauser. Those were the main vectors of attack yesterday from this group. So they had this rally downtown in which there was about 100 people that showed up. And they just griped and complained and bitched and moaned for about 2 hours about Trump and the Republicans. And so that's what the resistance movement is up to. Now, I've got a couple of clips from that, which are hilarious. But first, I want to bring you the individual that put this together. Lynn Shoemaker is her name. She's the one that's behind this group. She was interviewed by WECT yesterday about the protest, about the organization that she puts forward. So no surprise there. They streamed the video live on Facebook. And so this was kind of the opening to the Women Organizing for Wilmington protest that happened in downtown Wilmington yesterday. We'll take a listen to some of the organizers' comments, and then I've got a couple of clips that just go to show you the unhinged nature of the left as we sit here almost an entire month into the Trump presidency.
And it's warmer when we're close to one another. So, first, I'd like to welcome everyone who was able to be here this afternoon on President's Day, or for some of us, not my President's Day. My name is Lynn Shoemaker, and I am both the founding president of the nonpartisan grassroots WOW, which stands for Women Organizing for Wilmington.
So there you go. So you've got this nonpartisan group, she claims it's President's Day, but not my President Day. Right, because the left believes in democracy, right? We're constantly told Republicans are the threat to democracy. Republicans are attempting to overthrow democracy. Even though we're not a democracy, we're a democratic republic. Nevertheless, we'll use their words for the sake of the argument. They're constantly screaming about Republicans and democracy, yet they will say, it's President's Day, but not my President's Day. So Trump is not your president. So you are flying in the face of democracy, because Trump was elected by the people of this country, by the state of North Carolina, the first of 7 swing states to be called in favor of President Trump was the great state of North Carolina. Not only did he have a landslide electoral college victory, he won the popular vote. So this is how these groups are operating as of right now. This is what La Resistance is up to as we speak right now.
Which represents 8,000 plus or more than 12,000 folks in southeastern North Carolina if you add in our breakoff groups. And I'm also the elected president of Southeastern North Carolina Central Labor Council. Woo! And 5 allied unions in southeastern North Carolina, New Hanover, Pender, Brunswick, Duplin, and Columbus County. So unions are legal in the South, and we are thriving.
So you've got this individual who is a founder of an alleged nonpartisan group who never attacks Democrats, only attacks Republicans. She also is the head of a labor group. And you'll have to excuse the audio, which is awful. Whoever was operating the camera for this spent the entire thing yelling and screaming, which makes the audio almost completely unlistenable. So I will preemptively apologize for that. But I think the clips are worth it overall. So again, alleged nonpartisan group, labor union, hates Republicans. This is who's putting these on. I don't know why they just don't come out and say it. What is this idea? Who do they believe that they are fooling when they say, "Well, we're a group of nonpartisans. We love the Democrats and we hate the Republicans, but we're nonpartisan." I mean, who do they believe that they're fooling? There was no criticism. I listened painstakingly to the entire hour and 41 minutes of this ridiculous Facebook Live, and there was no criticism of anybody besides Trump, Elon Musk, David Rauser, Tom Tillis, Ted Budd, and Republicans. So who are they? Who do they believe that they're fooling? Maybe they're just gaslighting themselves. They can sleep better at night by saying, "We're not partisan hacks for the Democrat Party. We're nonpartisan. We're an unaffiliated nonpartisan group." Sure. Whatever makes you sleep well at night, whatever you need to tell yourself to justify your insane rhetoric, your insane comments, and your deranged actions, or your deranged response to Trump being in the Oval Office. So I've got a couple of clips from this. And we'll start off with one individual. Again, this was streamed on the Women Organizing for Wilmington Facebook group. This was publicly broadcast. One of the speakers was beside herself that somebody showed up with a camera and was taking pictures of people. She confronted that individual and said, "Why are you taking pictures?" The individual responded, "Well, I'm just taking pictures. I'm going to upload them to the internet." That individual said, "Well, you're infringing on my safe space." She then threatened to call the police. Meanwhile, this is not only being streamed live on the internet, but is literally happening in front of City Hall in downtown Wilmington, a public place. You have no expectation of privacy when you're at a public space like this, literally out in front of a city-owned and operated building, yelling and screaming about Trump. There is zero, absolutely zero expectation of privacy. So you don't get that. You don't have that at all. So let's get into a couple of the speakers. We've watched and seen and heard what Trump has done over the last couple of weeks. Let's now hear what some of these individuals think about what the president has done and some of his, what we believe are accomplishments. Let's hear what they have to say about it.
I live in Leland, North Carolina. All right, Rauser. Is there anything I'm not mad at today? Let's start with education. IEPs potentially going away, banned books, removing flags in classrooms, removing references to black leaders and change makers, removing our real history and rewriting it. How is that okay? I have a daughter, I have a 6-year-old, and I am here speaking on behalf of her.
Sure.
And the education I want her to have, the world I want her to live in, the country I want to stay in. And quite frankly, right now, I don't want to stay here. I'm embarrassed to be here. I'm embarrassed to say I live here.
Yep.
She's embarrassed to say that she lives here. She's embarrassed to be here. So my response to you is then to leave. I don't know why this is such a complicated task for the left. If you're so embarrassed as to what's going on in the country, then just go somewhere else. Go illegally migrate to some other country. See what their immigration laws are like. She's speaking on behalf of her six-year-old daughter because somehow David Rauser, who is a member of Congress, he single-handedly is rewriting history, according to this illustrious speaker from Leland. He is rewriting history. And she is so ashamed, so embarrassed by what's going on, that she is embarrassed and doesn't want to be here anymore. Well, last time I checked, last time I looked into these details, we lived in a free country. We lived in a free society. If you no longer want to be in North Carolina, pack your happy ass up and move to New York or California, where you don't have to worry about any of these so-called radical issues. Go move to one of these wonderful, phenomenal blue states and go live there, where all of your rights will be protected, right? Where they will fight back against the authoritarian Trump administration. Why are you in Leland? Why are you living? Brunswick County is one of the most conservative counties in the country. Why are you living there? If this is what you say and this is what you believe, it's all political theater. It is all sensationalism from the left. They talk a big game. They yell and scream. They hoot and holler. They walk around with their stupid signs. They post on social media. But when the rubber meets the road, it's all just words. They don't do anything about it. If I was ashamed to live in the United States of America, I would find somewhere else to live. I'm not ashamed to live in America, even under the previous administration. While I didn't like Joe Biden, while I thought the things that he did were disgraceful, at no point was I ashamed to be an American. Was I ashamed to be in this country? I didn't agree with the president. You know what I didn't do? Move. You know what I didn't do? Stand in front of Thalian Hall in Wilmington and cry about it like these individuals do. Or as we'll hear later on, having daily panic attacks over the Trump administration. So she's doing this for her daughter, who's 6 years old. I'm sure those are the exact ideas that her daughter has that she's bringing to the good people of Wilmington. More from her.
To talk about moving diversity, equity, and inclusion from our cities, from our schools, from our workplaces. You guys, I'm from Minnesota. I moved here. I lived
She's from Minnesota.
When George Floyd was murdered, I protested and stood there and yelled, no justice, no peace, with so many people. And now we want to remove DE&I. We want to pretend like the past hundreds and hundreds of years were not built by the people that we don't deserve to hire people. We were racist to begin with, right?
Right.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
White people, white men want to hire white men. We created DE&I for a reason, because of racism. And now we want to remove it? Let's talk about what's happening.
Oh, man. I knew this was going to be brutal to get through. Where do you go from there? DE&I. It's not DE&I. It's DEI. Diversity, equity, inclusion. So, according to her, who's from Minnesota, I don't know why the hell she left Minnesota. She can stay up there and be as progressive as she wants. She believes that white men only want to hire white men. Those her words, not mine, of course. And she believes that DEI needs to be put in place because the country was previously racist. So her solution to previous racism is to actively now in 2025, her solution to faults of the past are to actively discriminate against individuals based on their race. These are the kind of mental gymnastics and mental hoops that the left attempts to use to justify their ideology, to justify the things that they support. Why you would believe that currently discriminating against people based on race is a good thing is beyond me. But that's what she just said. We need DE&I because of things that have happened hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, according to her. Okay, so that's David Rauser, that's DEI. What other sort of great political insight do we have here?
So I just learned in the past few days that there's a possibility that I'm not going to be able to vote because my birth certificate doesn't match my ID. I'm punished because I have my husband's last name. So does that mean my voice matters less?
No, hell no.
I'm so sad that I'm raising my daughter in this country, that she's a second-class citizen, that I'm a second-class citizen, that the news, the media, our politicians, Rauser, is openly admitting that we are second-class citizens, that our voice does not matter as much.
That's true! We're not second-class citizens.
That's true. So even within this, some lady yells out, "We're not second class citizens." What the hell is she talking about? Again, she's so ashamed that she's raising her daughter in a society where she's going to be a second class citizen. Then move. Why are you staying in America? Why are you staying in this country if it's so awful and terrible and unjust? Go somewhere else. Go to Canada. Go hang out with the Sinaloa drug cartel in the New Mexico. Go to Europe. Go live somewhere in the EU for all I care. Women are now second-class citizens in our society? I must have missed that executive order. I must have missed that legislation brought forward by David Rauser. Well, I'm not even sure what she's talking about. But because she voted for Kamala Harris and Kamala Harris got her ass handed to her, now as a result she believes she's a second-class citizen? I don't know what the justification for any of this is.
LGBTQ plus community. There is no LGB without the T.
Right. Woo! Exactly.
I consider myself to be a pansexual. I am part of this community, and we cannot and will not allow the removal of the T. Real. We will fight to protect those that are transgender. We will fight to protect trans kids. We cannot rewrite history. And the last thing I want to end on is about immigration.
Ah, okay.
Sending ICE into schools.
It's not happening.
Sending people, forcing people to leave.
Oh, that's happening.
Have parents leaving their children.
Mm-hmm.
I have a shirt on that says no one is illegal on stolen land.
Oh.
On stolen land. We cannot allow for this to happen, and we need all politicians to stand up. Thank you.
All right, so some very, very highbrow political insight there from this lovely speaker from Leland. So she's claiming ICE is going into schools. There's no evidence of that anywhere that I've seen. And I'm sure if there was truly ICE agents going into schools and rounding up illegal children, that we would hear about that. It would probably make the news. That's just my thought on it. So that's not happening. She then claims that people shouldn't be separated and this shouldn't be happening. Well, contrary to what she believes, there is in fact laws that exist in this country that she is so ashamed of and feels so sorry for that does very clearly state that you are not allowed to come into the country illegally. Now, we have immigration laws in our country. We have a sovereign border. And if you choose not to follow those rules, if you choose that you want to ignore them, well, guess what? There are going to be consequences. You don't get to act in whatever way in which you'd like because you feel a certain way about something or you want something to be different. That's not how our society works. So individuals that are illegally in the country are in fact going to get deported. They shouldn't be here legally. They aren't here legally. They shouldn't be in the country. And nobody is illegal on stolen land. Oh, how unique. I'm sure you buy that off of a Pinterest board? Very highbrow political insight. So that's just one little look into what the resistance movement is up to as we speak this morning. Pretty expected. This is kind of what you would expect from these individuals. They have no political high ground to take. Their ideas are incredibly unpopular. She's talking about trans children. Because that's somehow a bedrock of leftist ideology now. That is another 80-20 issue. It's significantly more than an 80-20, but we'll call it an 80-20 issue. Vast swaths of the American public are not in favor of individuals using hormone blockers and making their kid trans at 5 and 6 years old, because that's absolutely insane. But this is what she says she believes. We have to protect trans children. This is a losing issue for the left. And then, of course, we shouldn't follow immigration law. Why? I don't know. Because some mom from Leland says so. To hell with the rule of law. To hell with the laws that are on the books. To hell with our immigration law. This mom from Leland says, well, we shouldn't be deporting people, so I guess we just need to stop doing it. Irregardless of whether they're dangerous criminals from portions of South America. Regardless if they're from drug trafficking groups or street gangs in Venezuela, irregardless of that. So I guess she's okay with the Venezuelan street gang member that was arrested in Raleigh last week that we talked about being in the country. That individual suspected in a mass shooting in Chicago. She wants that person in her community. I wonder if she'd invite that person into her house. Since you are all in favor of these people being here, maybe you would like to invite the Venezuelan street gang member to live in your spare bedroom. Right? Because no person is illegal on stolen land. They should be allowed to be here. So maybe the individuals like this should put their money where their mouth is. Maybe they should invite these folks into their homes and into their communities. Right? We saw that with Martha's Vineyard. A bunch of crying leftists about illegal immigration. Ron DeSantis flies a bunch of illegals to Martha's Vineyard. They completely freak out, lose their mind, and ship all of them somewhere else. Right? Because not in my backyard. I want you to have and deal with violence due to illegal immigration, but I want to shelter myself from it. So I want you to live by this set of standards. I'm going to continue to isolate myself in my little community and not practice what I preach at all. That's the left. That's what's going on right now. I've got one more clip from this that I want to go through. It's pretty, same vein, same nonsensical political takes coming forward. We'll have that coming up for you here in just a couple of minutes. I want to remind you that you can stay subscribed to the show, get daily show notes and more by visiting patreon.com/Nick Craig. We'll be announcing our monthly hangout tomorrow. That'll be happening next week. So if you are a Patreon member, you can join us on a couple hours Zoom call. That'll be taking place next week. patreon.com/Nick Craig. Appreciate everybody that has come on board and supported the program. We'll have more from the Women Organizing for Wilmington protest that took place here in Wilmington yesterday afternoon. Coming up after this, you're listening to The Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can stay subscribed to the show and watch it live and after the fact on YouTube. It's youtube.com/@TheNickCraigShow. You can also find that link over on the website, nickcraig.com. We're having some fun this morning going over the women organizing for Wilmington Trump protests that happened in front of Thalian Hall, the city capital, Wilmington city capital, yesterday afternoon, yesterday evening. They are, of course, again, described as a nonpartisan group that hates everything that Republicans do, hates everything that Republicans stand for, but of course, always masqueraded by this idea that they're nonpartisan. And as you've already heard from the founder of the group, and then from one of the speakers, they're anything but nonpartisan. They are far left progressive activists. They are true, tried and true leftists. But nevertheless, they call themselves nonpartisan. Like, that gives them some level of legitimacy. So now we'll hear from another speaker. This individual, a young woman who went up and speak and admitted she was not planning on speaking, and that was very evident and obvious by the fact that she was really unable to put any concise thoughts together. But nevertheless, again, we need to kind of keep track as to what is going on counter to the Trump administration. So let's listen into this.
I didn't prepare anything. I didn't even realize. I kind of stumbled across this. Anyway.
Oh, welcome.
What I want to say is... Donald Trump can go screw himself.
Wow. Woo! Woohoo! Wow, great insight.
Everything that's been going on has either felt like a joke or unreal. It's so hard to go online nowadays and feel a sense of peace because everything that has been going on because of Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and whoever that other guy is. because of them. I don't even know what the future holds anymore. Like, are we going back to 1930s Germany?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Is this like... It sure does, yeah. I'm so sorry. I did not prepare anything.
That's obvious.
You're doing great.
Yeah, you're doing a great job, according to the camera operator. Phenomenal job.
I just wanted to say something because I do not want to be complacent. I do not want to be seen as...
Woo!
Panic attacks every night. So that is a live check-in on the youth of the Democrat Party. Panic attacks every night. We're going back to the 1930s. And some really, really important analysis right there at the top of her comments. Donald Trump can go screw himself. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I've been in the media game quite some time now. I'm not sure that I've ever heard any sort of astute political analysis like that in my time following media. I like to think I follow things pretty closely. I like to think I've got a pretty good grasp on the news of the day and what's going on. And that political insight, that analysis right there, really is quite insightful. This is all they've got. She doesn't even know who the hell her elected officials are. She knows Donald Trump and Elon Musk and whoever this guy is. But don't worry, she doesn't want to be complacent in what's going on. There's zero civic engagement with an individual like this. And I just stumbled upon this event. Sure. You just stumbled upon a protest against Trump happening in front of Thalian Hall downtown. Just, just in the neighborhood. Happened to stumble upon a Trump. I had nothing going on for 2 hours, so I just decided I was going to stand here. Sure. So that's a live look and that's a live check-in on the resistance movement. Donald Trump can go screw himself. There's no such thing as illegals on stolen land. Harping back to all of the same nonsense that we heard in 2016, 2015, leading up to the election. It's completely inefficient. And here's the reality. This is the hard truth for individuals on the left to wrap their head around. You guys lost. We won. We're in charge now. You were unable to craft a good enough message to convince the American public that you were best suited to lead the country. You failed to convince the American public that your ideas, your policies, and your platform was the future of America, was how we should operate going forward. You were completely incapable of doing that. And it was obvious by the results of the election. Huge win for Trump, massive pickups in the Senate, and continuing to hold the House. It's obvious. It's based on what we saw with the results of the election. So this this resistance movement, as they like to call themselves, nonpartisan resistance movement. Let me make sure I fairly characterize the group. This is what they're going to do for the next 4 years. They're going to stand in front of your city hall. They're going to cry and complain and moan about Donald Trump and Elon Musk and any other Republican. This is not a message that hits with the American people. The American public is enjoying watching the Trump administration. They voted in favor of shaking up government. They were unsatisfied with this kind of leadership that we had over the last 4 years. The lady from Leland with the no such thing as an illegal on stolen land. Yeah, you guys had your reign at allowing unfettered illegal immigration. It cost you the election in 2024. It cost you the White House and it cost you Congress. So congratulations. I'm glad you have your Etsy shirt that says that. But it cost you the election because that's a very unpopular, radical political ideology that does not work for the American people. Does not work when you turn on the news and watch and see story after story after story of dangerous, hardened criminals enacting mass atrocities upon the U.S. population. Like the killing of somebody like Lakin Riley, a 20-year-old college student minding her own business, not doing anything wrong, out for a morning run, to be brutally assaulted and murdered by a member of a Venezuelan street gang. That's what that shirt stands for. I guess she's in favor of that. I guess that's what Democrats are in favor of. It's what I can take away. So that's your check-in on the resistance movement. We'll keep a close eye on them over the coming weeks and months and see what else we've got. I'll have a link to the entire live stream. If you're looking for some comedy relief, I'll put the link to the entire live stream up on our Patreon, patreon.com/Nick Craig. So let's turn to the boogeyman of the day. His name is Elon Musk. You may or may not be familiar with Elon Musk. Formerly the darling of the left with Solar City and Tesla, Neuralink, his high-speed underground rail system, a real darling of Democrats. Since they went so far off the deep end, he, of course, now seems as if he is a radical conservative. To them, he is now a radical right-wing Republican. How that transition happened so quickly, I won't be able to wrap my head around. But he is in Washington, D.C., he is with the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, and he is digging into the waste, the fraud, and the abuse that exists within our federal government. And this post went out yesterday evening, and it's to say it's remarkable is an understatement. It's been discussed for decades now that the federal government is filled with waste, fraud, and abuse. You've heard it from politicians, you've heard it from talking head pundits, you've heard it from regular everyday people. I don't think we truly understood how bad the situation was. I don't think we fully wrapped our head around how inefficient the federal government was and how much shady activity was really going on. And so I'll present you this post. The Treasury Access Symbol, TAS, is an identification code linking a treasury payment to a budget line item, which is a standard financial practice, meaning if you are spending money on something, you code it with some sort of key to indicate where that money is going, what the transaction is. This is not a very complicated issue or system. This is very standard practice. Right? If you do a budget at your home, if you have monthly expenses, you keep track of those. You use maybe an app on your phone to keep track of how much you spent on groceries, how much you spent on going out to eat or this or that. Right? It's simple budgeting. You just keep track of where the money's going. This post from Doge last night. In the federal government, the TAS field was optional, meaning you did not have to key in a payment, for approximately $4.7 trillion in payments and was often left blank, making traceability almost impossible. And the good news, as of Saturday, this is now a required field, increasing insight into where money is actually going. How is it possible? I guess I'm asking a rhetorical question, but I'll ask it anyway. How is it possible that within the Treasury payment system, the one that Democrats don't want Elon Musk to have access to, how is it possible that there was almost over $4.5 trillion worth of payments that did not have an identification code linking it to a budget line item? No indication as to what this money was allocated for, yet it's still being spent. Folks, again, when we talk about the inefficiencies and the fraud and the waste, I don't think anybody thought it was this bad. You can't use a single home budget app on your phone without keying in budget line items for payments. Yet the Treasury system was operating in that manner. Yet our federal government was operating in that manner. Apparently so. So this is what the left is against? As I listened to individuals speaking about Elon Musk in Wilmington yesterday, they're for this. They're in favor of $4.7 trillion in unaccountable payments flowing right out of the door? I guess so. Because they hate Elon Musk. They hate the Department of Government Efficiency. They hate everything that he stands for. So they're in favor of our unaccountable government. They are in favor of our out-of-control bureaucracy. And the answer to the question is rhetorical, because the answer is yes. Because it has allowed so many of these individuals, not the individuals you heard in Wilmington, they're just sheep. But it has allowed so many individuals within our government to enrich themselves at astonishing levels. They have absolutely rigged and gamed the system for their own benefit. They have rigged and gamed the system for their own benefit to generate wealth for themselves and for their families. And you've got somebody in there like Elon Musk, that is now calling this out. And I will give credit to one of the speakers yesterday who was talking about Musk here in Wilmington and made the comment, well, you know, there is some payment stuff that we should look into. And I thought that was very insightful, genuinely, because even an individual that's going to show up at an anti-Trump protest can wrap their head around the out-of-control spending that the government is dealing with. They can wrap their head around this tax and spend policy with unelected bureaucrats that frivolously spend and waste our money, and in many cases are enabling or allowing fraud and abuse. They are enabling this by individuals not using the Treasury access symbol, this TAS identification code. They are enabling fraud and abuse perpetrated upon the American people, right? Because it's our money. It's our taxes that fund all of these wonderful wish list item programs that the left wants, like, you know, transgender comics in Peru or drag shows in wherever the hell. They are allowing this. These unelected bureaucrats are allowing this by their, I would say, their ineptness. But I think it's probably intentional. As we've watched things unfold over the last couple of weeks, the mismanagement that we're seeing seems very intentional. it seems like the idea is you just kind of play dumb and play stupid and claim, oh, you know, this is just the way that things have been done. This is just the way that things have operated. And somehow that gives you a free pass to not put identification codes within $4.7 trillion worth of payments. As long as you claim ignorance, as long as you claim, it's how we do it, I guess there's no issue. I guess the issue doesn't exist. I guess it's okay if that's the case. How anybody can sit with a straight face and explain and justify how it's okay for these things to be taking place within the federal government. How this is somehow good for you or I, irregardless of what side you fall on the political spectrum. How this is good for our country, I will never be able to explain. I will never be able to wrap my head around how this is somehow a bad thing that we need to be watching out for. How this is detrimental to our so-called democracy that we always hear from the left. So the resistance can continue. They can continue yelling and screaming and crying and having panic attacks every night. I didn't say that. That's what one of the speakers said yesterday in Wilmington. They can continue to have their panic attacks for the next 4 years. I'll say it again. You lost. We won. We're in charge. We set the agenda. We're going to operate the government the way that we want to. You guys had your shot. You had 4 years of Joe Biden, where you were allowed to operate the government in the way in which you wanted to. The first 2 years of that, Democrats controlled the White House and Congress. You had your opportunity. You fumbled the ball. It's our turn now. We're in charge. Your ideas suck. They do not work for the American people. And your opinions are not popular. They are not agreed upon by the vast majority of the public. So I'm sorry. This is the game. It's a popularity contest. Your ideas are not popular. Your ideas do not work. I'm sorry, but that's the fact of the matter. So I'm glad I appreciate being able to bring you that this morning. It's very interesting to keep up to date with what is being said counter to the administration, especially when it's happening at a local level. Again, I'll throw the link to this up on our Patreon page for individuals that are supporters over there at patreon.com/Nick Craig. Well, that's going to do it for a Tuesday edition of the Nick Craig Show, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Thank you so much for being here. We are back with you tomorrow morning and available via podcast 24/7 at nickcraig.com. Have a great Tuesday.